I think I mentioned this the first couple of weeks, and these first few Torah portions of the year are always awesome. But the problem is what to speak about. There's too much. There's too much information. There's so much ground that's covered in how many ever years it is, about 2,000 years, actually, over the first 11 chapters of Genesis. So, and then we kind of zero in today a little bit, even though there's just so much ground to cover. So again, my pitch for Torah for today is we can only kind of skim the surface here in our talk. And what I would encourage you to do is find a Torah for Today group and be able to dig in more and dig in deeper. But, you know, a lot has happened. Like I said, we've covered a period of 2,000 years the last 2 weeks or the first 2 weeks of this new cycle. We've seen the creation of the heavens and the earth, of all the animals and man, and the beginning. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about this. Perfect harmony with God. It couldn't get any better. It was like a perpetual Hallmark movie. Everything was just wonderful. Everything was fine. There was no problems the way it was supposed to be. But then, very quickly, we saw the fall of man, the separation from God and man, the disruption of that harmony. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. You know, things went from bad to worse to really, really, really bad pretty quickly. And Genesis 6, 5 kind of encapsulates that and says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." It's pretty bad when God's saying that about his creation only a few chapters later. What we had was 10 generations from Adam to Noah and the great flood, right? We had the flood. We talked about that last week. Basically, with the flood, God did a massive redo. It was a redo. It was a do-over. And then what happened? It was great. Noah came out of the ark, built an altar to God. Everything seemed like, okay, we can get off on the right foot again. Here comes the harmony. But a few chapters later, we get to the point where we have the Tower of Babel. And we just go right back to the problems of before. And then there was 10 generations from Noah to Abram, who we're going to be speaking about today. That's where we're going to pick up today. But what was going on and what is still going on, what has always gone on, is God was looking for a relationship with his creation. And up until this point, whether it's the flood, the Tower of Babel, you name it, man was choosing to walk away from that relationship in one way, shape, or form. But there was one man that chose to walk towards God when everybody was walking away from God. And we're going to talk about him today. His name was Abram. Of course, his name was changed to Abraham. But Abraham's faith, his willingness to choose and follow God and walk in the direction of God instead of walking away from God is a monumental change in the history of the world until this point. It really is. I mean, we could talk about Noah. Of course, he was one man amongst the whole earth of people that did not follow God. But Abram, turning towards God, marks this special and unique fork in the road for human history. And there's something really powerful that goes on in Genesis chapter 12, which we're going to be kind of focusing on today. And what's going on is Abram, because of his faithfulness, because of his faith, because of his desire to walk towards God and have a relationship with God, there is a unique and special covenant that God makes with Abram, a unique and special covenant. But this covenant, very interesting, the Abrahamic covenant, of course, this covenant today that we're going to be reading about fuels the other covenants that follow in the rest of the Bible. So much so that these covenants are actually prophesied about in Genesis chapter 12. And we see the pattern that God is going to flesh out throughout history. So today we're going to talk about those four major covenants, starting with the Abrahamic covenant, and how those covenants are linked, how those covenants are related, and how all those covenants have the same goal, which is relationship between God and man. And we're going to see ultimately that these covenants today point all of us to redemption for mankind. a bringing back to that harmony. But it's only found in one person, which is Messiah Yeshua. He is the goal at which the Torah aims. He is everything that the prophets and the Torah speak about. It's Messiah Yeshua. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One scripture on this. You know, the problem with this Torah portion and the problem with this message today and there's about 10 verses you could pick for every point. I'm just picking one, so don't come up to me later and say, Rabbi, you know, there was a better verse to pick, and it was this one. I'm sure there was, but I'm just trying to hit the majors today. We have a lot of ground to cover. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. All this is from God, who through Messiah reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is, in Messiah, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. That's powerful. We're going to be talking about that today. You and I have redemption available through Messiah Yeshua. You and I have a way of reconnecting with God through Messiah Yeshua. And you and I have a way of getting that perfect harmony, reconnected, getting back to what God designed us for. And it really all starts with these covenants with God and Abram in Genesis chapter 12. So now turn with me to Genesis 12. How many chapters? There's like 6 chapters in this Torah portion. I couldn't get past the first 3 verses. So we'll see. I mean, we're going to cover a little bit more, but the first 3 verses really tell the story here. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So this is what God speaks to Abram about. His name was later changed to Abraham, as I said. Now, just to give a very quick background, Abram was from this town called Ur. It was actually more of a big city. It was a very cosmopolitan city in Iraq area. And what happened was, Abram's father, his name was Terah, he left Ur. He left that cosmopolitan pagan city, and he took with him Abram, Sarai, Abram's wife, and Abram's nephew, Lot. And they set out for this land called Canaan at the time, which we know to be Israel today. But Terah stopped halfway. So he started moving towards God. He started listening to God. We know this, Terah did. But, and this is all in Genesis chapter 11, he moved, but he stopped. And he stopped in this land called Haran, which is, you know, about halfway, which is a whole other story. The point is, Abram came out of paganism, and he took up where his father left off. He's in Haran for some period of time, and then he leaves and actually starts moving and walking towards the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. Now, Abraham was 75 years old at this time. Can you imagine starting out on a new journey, starting out on a new path in life at 75 years old? Abraham and Sarah were also barren. They were childless. So keep in mind, he's older and he's childless. And that's why verses like what I'm going to have you turn to next are all the more miraculous and unbelievable when we talk about the man who really shifted the tide here with the course of humanity. Go to Genesis 15:6. Every time we go around these chapters, I have to zero in on Genesis 15:6. I think it's probably my favorite verse in the Bible, although there's a few. You may have your own favorite verses, but what's going on in Genesis 15:6 is, remember, Abraham was older. Abraham and Sarah did not have any kids. God says to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, you're going to have children. He takes him outside. He shows him all the stars. And he says, look at all those stars. If you can count them, then you can count how many children I'm going to give you, et cetera, et cetera. And Abram says, or the word says, Abram believe the Lord, Genesis 15:6. And he, Abraham, believed the Lord, and he, God, counted it to him, Abram, as righteousness. So this is characteristic Abraham. All the generations that went before him, they either went halfway or they turned around and went the other direction from God. But Abram chose to walk towards God and not just even halfway towards God. Abraham displayed a faith in God. Now, the word in Genesis 15:6 for believed, Abraham believed the Lord, The word in Hebrew is amen, and it means to support, to confirm, to be faithful, or to make firm. And Jewish sources, the Chumash in particular, says this word is used here, and it carries the connotation that Abraham totally submitted himself to God. There was no, well, I'll believe it when I see it. There was no, okay, well, let's go out on a limb and believe. No, this was like wholeheartedly, both feet jumping in, and Abraham believed. He didn't just think it, he did something. It implies action. There's an action about it. Not just thinking about it, but doing it. And we know that faith for us is a decision. We can all day say, well, I believe in God, or I've got faith, or I trust the Lord in my life, but you've got to work it out. You've got to start moving in that direction, because faith, more than anything else, is a decision, and Abraham made that decision. So the Abrahamic covenant, the first covenant here in Genesis 12:1, is a covenant based on faith. That's the first point this morning. When we look at the covenants of relationship, the covenant of faith is really what defines the Abrahamic covenant. It's a covenant of faith. Now, people talk all in the body of Messiah a lot of times about how, well, the faith comes in the New Testament, and the works and the law and all that stuff is in the Old Testament. And that is completely faulty when you look at Scripture and when you look at what God is trying to do. God was talking about faith. God was talking about relationship way back even in Genesis chapter 12. And the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant of faith, fuels the other covenants in the Bible. All the ones that come after it is all coming from that perspective of faith, because the Abrahamic covenant encapsulates really all the other covenants. They all point to a relationship with God. Okay, back to Genesis 12:1. We're going to read it again, because as we start reading through these verses, you see prophetically, you see a foreshadowing, a picture, if you will, of the other covenants. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. There's a series of promises that Abraham is given through the covenants. And remember what a covenant is. A covenant is an agreement between God and man in these cases. But a covenant in general is an agreement between two persons to do something specified. And in verse 1, God specifies and promises Abraham land. Land for him, land for his descendants who would yet to be, right? This Genesis 12 was before Genesis 15, right? This is before God gives him Isaac. This is before, way before all of these things. So in verse 1, God is specifying and promising a land. And the land specified here is most clearly and most definitely Israel. Always has been, always will be. So way, 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 way back here, before Ishmael, even before Isaac, the land was promised by God to Abraham and his descendants after him. And we clearly see, based on Scripture after this, that it's through Isaac, which is the Jewish people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it's the land of Canaan, or the land of Israel. Now, the prophetic element here, because we know that Abraham did set foot in the land. He finally got to Canaan. He went into the land of Israel. But prophetically, this is speaking. Why is it prophetic? Because it wasn't all fulfilled right away. Abraham basically dips into the land and then very quickly has to leave the land, as we know. He goes down to Egypt. So, and then after that, his descendants leave the land for a long, long, long time. So this is a prophetic picture of being established in the land by Abram's descendants afterwards. And this prophetic picture of the land foreshadows the next covenant to come, which is the Mosaic covenant. Now, in the Mosaic covenant, which we're going to talk about next, God is saying to Abraham's descendants, you will miraculously go into this land. You will be established in this land. And again, we know it's prophetic because Abraham was just a sojourner there. Abraham was just a foreigner, a stranger there. He didn't even have any ownership of the land. You will remember, and it's in this Torah portion, the whole chapter from the Hittites, when it's actually in a future Torah portion, actually, it's Genesis 23, when Sarah dies, he's got to negotiate a piece of the land to bury his wife Sarah. He doesn't own the land yet. This comes later. Two generations later, his grandson, Jacob, has to leave the land, forced out of the land of Canaan, goes down to Egypt. So we know that this promise is in the future. Now, turn with me. We pick up on this Mosaic covenant picture, this prophetic issuing of the Mosaic covenant in, now go to Exodus, the next book, Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to pick up in verses 7 and 8. To set the stage for Exodus 3, we're generations later, forced out of the land in Canaan because of a famine, never taking ownership of the land prophesied in Genesis 12:1, we have this shepherd, a descendant of Jacob, a descendant of Levi, one of the sons. His name was Moses. We know that Moses is hanging out in a place called Midian for many, many, many years as a lowly shepherd. And he goes and he wanders over to this place, this big mountain called Horeb, which we know is Mount Sinai. And God says this to Moses. This is hundreds of years later. Exodus 3, 7 and 8. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. Verse 8, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land. This is the land spoken about in Genesis 12:1. A land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now turn a few chapters later, just to set this up, Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. God's, you know, working through this Moses guy. Moses is a little bit timid about it. Moses really doesn't know if it's really he should be the one. Exodus 6, verses 2 through 4. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, by the way, the Tetragrammaton, I did not make myself known to them. Verse 4, I also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan in the land in which they live as sojourners. So that's point two. That's covenant two today. The covenant of land represents the Mosaic covenant. Okay? God uses Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, to the land of Canaan, to the land of promise. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. You probably know this. We sang it a little earlier today, but we've got to go to this because remember the covenants. The covenants, whether it's the Abrahamic covenant, whether it's the Mosaic covenant, are about relationship. They're about faith, and they're about relationship. And so when we think about that thought, and we think about that concept of relationship, and we read one of the principal verses of the Torah, one of the principal verses of the Mosaic covenant, what does it say? Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. What a relationship God wanted. He wanted us to love him, but to love him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. That kind of sounds like the love he had with Adam and Eve before the fall. That kind of sounds like a real, strong, awesome, beautiful relationship. God is seeking a relationship with his people once again, now through the Mosaic covenant. Back to Genesis chapter 12. As I like to say every week. But wait, there's more. Because there is more. And it's not enough to give us just two covenants. We got to go to the next covenant here. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. Continuing on with God speaking to Abraham all those years ago. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So the land was prophesied, verse 1, which is the land promise, the promise of the land of Israel and the Mosaic covenant. And now we come to this concept of a great nation. It's a little bit different than a land. This refers to the nation of Israel. And even more specifically, this refers to the kingdom of Israel, a kingdom. So God is speaking about a land they're going to go to and a people to go to that land, but a kingdom of people to go to that land. And so when we start thinking about that, we start thinking about a covenant of a nation, a covenant, and this is also can be also translated and thought about as a covenant of a seed. Okay, we're going to get into that a little bit more. But this covenant of being a great nation, which is again a prophetic element, is, if we go to our third point, the covenant of nation points us to the Davidic covenant, which is the next major covenant that's going on in the Bible. Now you can turn to 2 Samuel 7. And again, there's like a lot of verses that cover each of these covenants. This is just one verse or a couple of verses I picked out. But when we think of the Davidic covenant, the nation covenant or the kingdom covenant, we think of who's the greatest king in Israel's history. As Jewish people, we always say the kingdom of King David was the greatest. Now, you could say Solomon's was the greatest. Okay, he expanded, but David is the one that set everything up. David is the one that really established the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, brought them all together. If you remember, he was king over Judah for 6 years, and then he became king over all of Israel, Israel and Judah, all 12 tribes, 6 years later, and then reigned for 33 more years. But what's going on here in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13, is David, this great heart warrior that had a great heart after God, right? We always talk about David having a heart after the Lord, and he did. David, another shepherd, God used to bring about this nation covenant. When David got all the land of Israel at rest, when he had rest from all of his enemies, he goes in to the tabernacle at the time, and he goes and sits among the Lord. And what happens is the prophet Nathan comes to David, and the prophet Nathan says the words of the Lord to King David. 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13. When your days are fulfilled, and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you. This is the seed part. And you shall who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. So kingdom, nation. Verse 13, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This is a prophetic picture back in Genesis 12, pointing us, again, as we move on in 2 Samuel 7. So throne, kingdom, nation, Davidic covenant. Now turn a few more verses down to verses 15 and 16 of 2 Samuel 7. But my steadfast love, there's that love relationship again. My steadfast love will not depart from him as I took it from Saul, the first king, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Okay, so it starts with Abraham, the covenant of faith, the Abrahamic covenant. It goes on to Moses, the land covenant, as they go in, the Mosaic covenant, the Torah. Then we see David, the covenant of the nation, the covenant of the throne, the covenant of the kingdom, with this idea of an everlasting throne. You know, as you go through the record of the kings and the, you know, Chronicles and Kings, it's like this king rose up, and then everybody killed him and his whole family. And then this king rose up, and then this king rose up. David has been established as the kingdom of the house of David, prophetically in Genesis, and continues on as we read through the prophets and the holy writings. But as we're going through these covenants, there is one more covenant. So turn to Genesis 12. We'll go to verses 2 and 3 here. As God is making it more and more clear what's going on here, he's painting a picture more and more. We go back to Genesis 2, 2 and 3, and we read this. Verse 2, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless those that bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What's the word that's said more than any other word in those two verses? Bless, blessing. The last covenant was to be a covenant of blessing. And it wasn't a blessing just for Abraham and his descendants, because we read in verse 3, this blessing would extend beyond the Jewish people, which was God's whole plan overall, eventually, anyway, always. But it's to continue on that blessing, verse 3, to the entire world. Now turn to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, one of many scriptures that point to this blessing overflowing past the nation of Israel to the entire world. Isaiah 11:10. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Isaiah 11:10. Now, Jesse was David's father, right? His earthly father. And the root of Jesse is talked about here and elsewhere as the Messiah. This is a messianic picture. This is the seed. This is the end of the road for the kingdom. This is the Davidic kingdom being fulfilled now in this last covenant of blessing. The root of Jesse, the Messiah, who had come from the seed of David, last point this morning, is the covenant of blessing we see is fulfilled in Messiah Yeshua. It's got to be, it cannot be anybody else. Prophetically, scripturally, biblically, all these covenants are linked. All these covenants point even beyond the Jewish people to the blessing of the whole world, all through the Messiah Yeshua. Now turn to the book of Hebrews in the new covenant, the Brit Chadashah, Hebrews 9:15. Now we see, as we go through the Bible, all of this stuff kind of becoming more progressively relevant to us, and we're seeing things shaking out, and we get to the new covenant, the renewed covenant here. Therefore, he, Yeshua, is the mediator of a new covenant. This is the last covenant, the covenant of blessing. So that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. So this new covenant is not just for the Jewish people, it's for the Gentiles and the whole world as well. We saw in Isaiah chapter 11, God's going to bring in the Gentiles, and there's other scriptures throughout Isaiah and other prophets that talk about this. But now go to the prophet Jeremiah, because we can't leave out the Jewish people. Many times in the body of Messiah today, people want to just leapfrog over the Jewish people, right? Well, they had their chance, and that's over with. They rejected the Lord and all this stuff. But no, there's prophetic elements about this covenant, and Israel will now take part in this covenant as well. Jeremiah 31, of course, verses 31 through 33. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, there's that word again, with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law, my Torah, within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So we see an internalization of the Mosaic covenant now in the new covenant, the renewed covenant, the covenant of blessing. All of these covenants, new covenant, renewed covenant, if you will, Davidic covenant, Mosaic covenant, they're all based on a relationship between God and man. And all of it is related and linked, but all of it points back to that very first covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. Okay, now we're going to go to a very misunderstood book, the book of Galatians. So turn to Galatians. In Galatians, the prophet, or the apostle Paul, Rav Shaul, he's talking about the interrelatedness of these covenants. And if we're not careful, we can misconstrue some of the things that the apostle Paul, Rav Shaul, says. But he clearly talks about the Abrahamic covenant here, and talks about the aspect of this overarching covenant that fuels the other covenants, and how it is a covenant that is a covenant of relationship, a covenant of faith. And as he writes in Galatians, you can go to Galatians chapter 3. He's bringing us all the way back to the first covenant. Galatians chapter 3, and we'll start with verses 7, 8, and 9. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall the nations be blessed. I wonder what that scripture is. That's Genesis 12, 3. Verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Now turn down to Galatians 3, 14. So that in Messiah Yeshua, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. That word faith is throughout The blessing is throughout. The covenant is throughout. And he's bringing it all full picture for us today. He's giving us a proper understanding of the covenantal relationships and how they interweave with each other and how it all points back to faith, relationship, what God wanted for us all along. Now, we have in the first two Torah portions, man continually walking away from God, the man Abram or Abraham walking towards God. We have many instances, and we see it through the covenants, just a couple of other men or people in the Bible that turned towards God, right? Abraham turned towards God. Moses turned towards God, Mosaic covenant. David turned towards God, Davidic covenant. Yeshua, of course, turned towards the Lord, walked in that direction. The key in these covenants is you've got to walk towards the Lord. If you want the relationship that's given in the covenants, you've got to do your part, because a relationship is an agreement between two people. Are we going to agree today to walk towards the Lord? Are we going, and this is for Jewish people, for non-Jewish people, this is for the whole world. The blessings only come when we realize God has wanted this for us all along, when we realize there is no blessing without the Lord. Mankind has tried to live without the Lord and find that source of blessing for thousands and thousands of years. Didn't go so well when there was a big flood. Didn't go so well when there was a scattering with the Tower of Babel. And it's not going so well in 2020 out there for people. I'm telling you. But for us, for those of us that are walking towards the Lord, there is a covenant of faith, of relationship. There is God. God wants us to walk towards him. God wants a relationship and a covenant. And he's like banging the gong throughout all of Scripture, throughout all of these covenants. These covenants crisscross the whole Bible. We see it. They're all interrelated. They're all pointing us towards walking towards God. So today, as we, you know, sometimes you feel like a fish swimming in the opposite direction of everybody else, don't you? It's like, oh, and the current is getting really, really hard. But we've got to be, we got to get together, right? That school of fish, and we've got to like be swimming towards God. We've got to be swimming towards these covenants. We've got to be swimming towards relationship with God. This is what God wants for us. So the question for us today is, what are we going to choose? Are we going to choose relationship? Are we going to choose to walk towards God? Now, one last point. Abraham walked towards God, but it wasn't easy. He was childless. He was old, right? 75 years old, that's a tough time to start over. Wherever you and I are at today in our lives, are we going to just take a stand and walk towards the Lord? We don't know what's in front of us. We don't know where we're going. Abraham did not know what was on the other side. He did not know what was waiting in the land of Canaan. But we can make a choice, a conscious choice, to walk towards the Lord. So that's really our challenge today. Are we going to walk towards covenant relationship with our God? Let's pray. Lord God of Israel, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God of Moses, God of David, Lord, we come before you. And we recognize your themes. We recognize you're trying to get our attention. We recognize your desire to not be angry with us because we walked away, but to continue to reach out your hand in friendship, in fellowship, in relationship, in faith with us. So, Lord, we choose to walk towards you today, just as Abraham did, not knowing where he might be going. Lord, we take that leap and that step of faith, knowing that there's blessings on the other side, blessings from you. I pray, Lord God, that if there's someone here in this room or watching us on the live stream that doesn't yet know that relationship with you, that they would reach out to you, that they would open up the word, that they would really cry out to you, Lord God, and that you would answer them about this relationship. And we know, Lord God, that you came, Yeshua, you are the living Torah, you took on all the sin of the world on that tree, and you died for our sins, so that our sins could be thrown, Micah chapter 7, through into the depths of the sea, so our sins could be remembered no more, so that the sin would of separation would be out of the way, and we could enter into that relationship with you. So I pray if anyone doesn't know you personally through the Messiah Yeshua, that you would drop the scales from the eyes, reveal it, Lord God, and that they would reach out to you today and walk in newness of life in relationship with you. We thank you, God, for all of your blessings. We thank you for your word. We thank you for a new day where we can, no matter what's been going on in our lives up until this point, we can just choose to walk towards you. So I pray, Lord God, for the faith of everyone to walk towards you today. We thank you and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand together.